In our study, you remember, in verse 37, the Lord is rebuking the Israelites, the leaders, because they should know better, and they don't. And thus we read in verse 37, I should say, "And the Father himself hath sent me," sent from God, "sent me, hath borne witness of me," God the Father bearing witness of God the Son. "And the Israelite leaders," etc., "have neither heard his voice at any time, nor have seen his shape." They just haven't seen it. They don't hear his voice. They have no knowledge of God. Verse 38, "You have not his word abiding in you." It is not abiding in you, the person. "For whom he hath sent," God the Father sent the Son, "him you believe not." You don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, whom the Father sent. You don't believe. You haven't heard his voice. Haven't seen any. There's no visible, physical being that you can point to. You have not heard his word, have his word abiding in you. And here I am in front of you to put all of that together, and you reject me. So now, in the light of that, so the question that you're looking at is, in the light of the Old Testament, and these, especially the leaders, Jewish leaders, they had the Old Testament, and they had the Old Testament by way of the Talmud, and the Talmud up on top, as it were, and you look through the Talmud to see the Bible. And all of the Talmud, the learning, all of it has to do with the Gemara and the Mishnah and all of that, those big volumes, sets. And all of it is to try to figure out what God said in the Old Testament and in what measure they were to understand it. And so, here they have their Talmud. They have their traditions. They are very, especially the Pharisees, are earnestly involved in exercising their religious practices. And they assured themselves, since they, looking out everywhere and comparing themselves with others, they came out pretty good. Looking around, here's all the people that they could hear, Assyrians and the Philippians, Egyptians, and here's the Jews. And who else practices, thinks of the Bible, truth, God, like we do? And no one. So they stood out and they were able to be qualified, because of all the people that should be qualified. If anyone's qualified, they're qualified. If you're going to go by what you look out there. And so now, here they are. And in the light of that, they have the benefit, they have the ownership of what is written, what they believe. And thus, they are claiming a right to, and they're reading, but they're reading and understanding in the wrong way. And they suppose that in the wrong way, they have something. But they really don't have it all. But they're qualified to have it, and they do have it, but they don't have it. They don't have it. They don't have it. Ah. Now, so that's where we're going to go. What they did not have, they thought they had, they supposed they had, but they really didn't have it at all. So now, John chapter 5, picking up, please, if I can, down to verse 39. Remember now, they no shape, no voice, no word abiding in them. They had no heart understanding, head understanding that was adequate of his word. Verse 9, "Search the scriptures." That's a command. Search the scriptures. Search them. That sounds like a reasonable thing. Search the scriptures. Now, before we look at them, let me move ahead in history And we're coming back right here. Over, if you would, to the book of Acts, chapter 17. The book of Acts, chapter 17. In Acts chapter 17, you remember the Bereans and etc. Verse 10, Paul ministering. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. So that's where they went first. Of most people, that to the Jew first and to the Gentile. If anyone should be open to the Bible, to the Gospel, to Christ, it ought to be the Jew. And thus, verse 11, going to the Jews in Berea. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Here's the Jews in Thessalonica, negative. In Berea, they aren't like that. When you come there, they aren't like that. On the contrary, verse 11. These are more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they receive the word with all readiness of mind. They receive the word. They aren't bucking it. They aren't challenging it. They just want to get a right understanding of it. And they searched to divide up the scriptures, different word, to divide up, to judge. They searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. Now, Paul was giving him information, and they looked and said, boy, it says that. And they looked at it. Well, it does say that. It does say that. Verse 12. Therefore, many of them believed. Also, of honorable women, there were Greeks and men, and of men, not a few. Women and men, Greeks and Jews, they were believing. But, verse 13, but when the Jews of Thessalonica up north had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came hither also and stirred up the people. So the Jews in Berea are reading, and they want to understand. Well, if that's what it says in the Old Testament, they want to know it. But the Jews in Thessalonica didn't like that, so they came down to try to disrupt that kind of movement that Jews would consider the Lord Jesus Christ as the Messiah. Over, if you would, John chapter 5. John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 39. Search, that's a command. And that command in the present tense, that to be searching. Now that word is a word, means to seek, to search out diligently, to trace, to investigate. It is used by Homer in the 8th century B.C. If anyone was a Greek, used Greek, and understood words, Homer. And Homer did the Iliad and the Odyssey in the 8th century. Now I'm going to quote from the Iliad. I'm going to quote from that, this word, search, if I may. In Homer, the lion, A lion deprived of its whelps. The whelps is a word, young, it's young. And you use the word whelps when you're talking about meat eaters. When you talk about animals that eat meat, they're called whelps. And thus, the word used. A lion deprived of its whelps, who scours the plains and traces the footsteps of the man who robbed him. The lion is looking for the man who took his cubs, looking for him, looking. And he scours the plains, and thus it, quote, he traces the footsteps, the word search, to trace the footsteps. It's used of dogs, tracing their game, tracing by the foot, searching, tracing by the foot. The dogs are searching for the game, for the hunt. And thus, to trace, to track, a diligent, caring, searching, exploring, uncovering, investigating, search. Make some effort to understand what you're doing. The Bereans did. They believed the word of God, A, and thus they were ready to search it. If you don't believe, you can't start. You got to start with believing, as you'll see. And the Bereans did. But these people here, the Lord's talking to them, and they have no word, no shape, no voice. They aren't even on the same page. But boy, are they with everything else. They suppose a whole lot of things. They think everything is okay, and the future looks good. But it doesn't. It really doesn't at all. But if anyone should have a future, they should. See their life. See their thinking. See how they act. Now, having said that, over if you would please, in the light of that, I want to see if that's how they think. Are they searching? Why does he tell them a command, search the scriptures? Because they weren't doing it. They had the Talmud and the tradition, and they read and they studied and preached and sang, but they had no relationship. Watch. Verse 47, John chapter 5, verse 47. When it came to Moses, Genesis to Leviticus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Genesis chapter 6, chapter 5, verse 47. But if you believe not his writings, that's Genesis to Deuteronomy, how shall ye believe my words? You don't believe what Moses said. They could quote it, but they didn't believe it. They had it. They had an intellectual. And you can't have the intellectual until you have a personal. People try to put their intellectual approach to the Bible and things. That's all right in the world. But when it comes to God, you start with God and believe. Then you will have light. Then you will understand. Not the other way around. It'll never get there. You could be the greatest intellect and be able to know and the languages upside down and inside out. It won't make any difference. Watch. These people did. Let's see how they did. They didn't understand Moses, but they knew Moses, but didn't understand it. Hang on, let's illustrate it. Over, if you would please, to Matthew. Matthew in chapter 12. Matthew in chapter 12, picking up, please. Chapter 12 and in verse 3. But he said unto them, the Lord said to the Jews, have ye not read what David did when he was an hungered, and they that were with him? Now, you've read the Bible, Jesus said. Should you understand what we do and why we do it? Don't you guys know the Bible? Didn't you ever read about David? Sure they did. Did they understand? No, they didn't. Chapter 19. Verse 4. 19 and verse 4. And he said, And he answered and said unto them, the Lord did, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Didn't you ever read Genesis? Don't you understand how that all goes together about marriage and everything? No, they didn't. They didn't. Over, if you would, chapter 22, Matthew. And picking up pace again, Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err, you are in error, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. But we do know. No, you don't know. You think you know. You talk about it. You can quote it. You can have a whole treatise on it. But you don't know it. You don't know what I said. You don't know what I said. Hang on. It'll come. It's a... Wow. Over, if you would, the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke. Picking up, Luke chapter 11. Luke 11, verse 46. Luke 11 and 46. I'll read verse 45 even for a little. Then answered one of the lawyers and said unto him, Master, thus sayest thou, reproacheth us also? You're speaking. We're lawyers. We're scribes. We study. We study the Bible. We're the authorities. If anyone knows the law, we do. Are you speaking against us? Verse 46. He said in answer, Woe unto you also, ye lawyers, for ye laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. You tell them all kinds of things, and you don't do any of them. You tell them all these things to do, and you don't do any of them. Sliding down, verse 52. Woe unto you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge, and ye entered not in yourselves. You don't want to know, and them that were entering in, you hindered. You didn't want anyone else to know. Your lawyers didn't want to know. You don't want anyone else to know. No one else to know. That's the rule. No one else to know. See, we'll tell you to do, but we don't know, and no one else should know. And especially, you can't go and have something that we don't. Now, so there you have that. Now, to lock it in a little more, Mark chapter 6. Or 7, better. Mark chapter 7. May I go? Mark chapter 7, picking up, please, in verse 6. And he answered and said unto them, Well hath Isaiah, prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me. Teach in vain. It's empty, useless, worthless what they do. Teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. What good's that? Verse 8. For laying aside the commandments of God, that's how you got the commandments of men. Commandments of God outrank and override the commandments of men. Ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such things do ye do. And he said unto them, Full well, you reject, R-E-J-E-C-T, you reject the commandment of God. Why? In order that you might do your own teaching. You see? But we think we have it. He said, you don't search the scriptures. Do you know how many people teach the Bible that don't know what it says? They don't know what it says. They teach it. And they're busy. They miss the whole point. What did you say? And they missed it. Totally missed. And it's acceptable. It's acceptable. But does it really say that? That's what we want to know. God help us. So now, here they are. Here's the Jewish, John chapter 5 again, if you would. John chapter 5. And in John chapter 5, they with all their thing, they're seeking to understand. And you know this. These people, when you read and don't search the scriptures, what does the scripture say? Well, if you don't know what it says, how is it going to harmonize with the rest of what it says? If you take it out of context here and miss the point, then why? And over here it has to agree, but it doesn't need to agree. So you got all kinds of questions and doubts. When you read the Bible, how do you know this is true? How do you know that's true? And you get all over the place. Because you never got it in the first place. And that's the trouble. And so when I teach and preach and keep going with it, that it creates new things that anyone's going to answer. No, we answer it another way. We miss the whole point. And the pieces never come together in the puzzle. We get a lot of pieces maybe, but no picture. We get the wrong picture. Now, having said that, to search the scriptures, and it creates all kinds of questions and answers, and that's why a biblical criticism of the wrong kind, because pay attention to what it said. Watch now. God help us in time. Over, if you would, please. In your Bible, John chapter 5, verse 39, search the scriptures. Search them. For in them, in the scriptures, you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So search the scriptures. Why? Because in them, they're counting on the scriptures. The word think, the word think is in the present tense. They were thinking, supposing, imagining, presuming, to have the opinion, to have the appearance, to make an opinion. They're presuming and supposing. One thinks, we think, you think you have eternal life. That's what you think. You read the scriptures and you think in them, you think, you suppose you have eternal life. Because you read the scriptures. Lots of people read the scriptures. But they aren't saved. Reading the scriptures doesn't save you. It never saved you. Never. Never. So they read. And we think we have it. Well, I mean, we're scholars in this. And we can exegete and everything. Wow. But hey, you think... You have, you suppose you have, you are supposed, you're having eternal life. That's what you think you have, eternal life, because you are looking at, you have the scriptures. You have the scriptures. Now, so if anyone would have, we surely have knowledge, they would say. We have the benefits. We have the right to have the benefits. We have the rights to think we have the benefits. And we suppose that we do. We qualify. But they don't. They don't. They are not searching the scriptures. They are not. Where do they miss? Where is the first place they miss the whole business? The end of verse 39. They are they which testify of me. They are bearing witness. Witness continued. Bearing witness of me. They are bearing witness of me. So when you read the Bible, you want to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you? Here's the Bible. 66 books of the Bible. And when you read the Bible, you should see God. The pulpit, the ministry, isn't to help you have an intellect. It's to help you know if this time we have together, the whole purpose of the assembly, Ephesians 4, etc., is to help you to have an understanding, a personal relationship to God. So when you get out of here, you have to think about God and know God and realize God in a way that you didn't when you came in. It isn't to help you get a whole lot of knowledge, because the knowledge won't save you. It won't save you at all. And the Lord said it to them who were knowledgeable compared to Christians today. They would make the Pharisees, etc., in their light of understanding what they do, would be very high. So now, in verse, they testify of me. Verse 40, and you will not come to me, you won't come to me, that you might have life. You don't have any life. You think you do, but you don't. And the scriptures, if you read them and searched them, like a lion hunting, like a dog hunting, if you search the scriptures like the Bereans, you would end up understanding them. And when you understand them, you're going to look at me. You're going to understand who I am. That's what it's all about. It isn't about you getting a whole lot of verbs and adjectives and stuff. That's the whole point. If you don't get that, you've got nothing. Now, illustrate. Over, if you would, and you see the little word in the end of verse 39, they testify of me. And the little word of, little preposition, it means surrounding. Just think of standing in the middle and the scriptures surround, completely surround, like this room literally surrounds you. The scriptures literally surround the Lord Jesus Christ in the middle. Concerning me, surrounding me. Now, over if you would please to Luke. Luke chapter 24, of all kinds of places. Luke chapter 24. Picking up, if I may, in verse 24, after his resurrection, which should be an eye-opener for them. Chapter 24 and in verse 24. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said. But him they saw not, because he was resurrected. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses, which you don't know, remember, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them. He helped them understand what they didn't understand. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures, in all the ALL, the scriptures, the things concerning himself, all about himself. All about himself. All about himself. No question. And thus, he meets the disciple, picking up, if I can, verse 30. And it came to pass, as he set at meat, food, with them, went to their home, it was late at night, and they stayed. And he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew, obviously, when he did that. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? And by the way, Lord, what on earth were you doing while you talked and walked to their house? While he opened, the end verse 32, while he opened to us the scriptures. He opened. We had it. We had it open. We didn't understand it. We didn't, and that's why you read in Titus and that, Timothy. Lord, the Lord give you understanding. Why the Colossians pray that you might have understanding. Because you're going to read and you'll miss the whole point. You'll miss the whole point. You'll miss the whole movement, which is mighty and powerful and wonderful. Thus was not our heart. Verse 33. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and the Lord, how he talked to them, how he was known of them in breaking of the bread. He went and they did all that. And now, so here they are up together then. And God, are you going to do it again? I am. Here they are on the road. going down to Jerusalem again, Jerusalem, to be with them. And then they're together, picking up, please, if I may, verse 41, and while they were yet believed not for joy, it was too wonderful, it can't really be true. It can't really be true. It can't really be that he rose again. It can't be true. Everyone, he said unto them, have you any meat, food? So that would identify his literalness. And he gave him, and they gave him a piece of boiled fish and an honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all these things must, M-U-S-T, obligated, must happen, be fulfilled, which are written, W-R-I-T-T-E-N, written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms, concerning me. And then opened he their understanding, they might understand the scriptures. They needed to understand the scriptures. That's what they needed to do. And they needed that. And God would have to help them with that. And thus, verse 49, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. That's Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And they shall receive power and to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world. Now, so they're waiting. The Spirit of God has to help them. Because what are they missing? They're missing an understanding that as they read the scripture, they should have found God. They should have found everything pointed to his wonderful person and his wonderful presence. And if they would just read, they didn't read. They should have read the Gospel of John, chapter 20. The Gospel, we're looking at the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John is written to believers so that they believe. John chapter 20, picking up, please. You need to have the relationship, not the intellect. You come to God because he's God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. You come to God as a person. You don't come an intellect, brain. You come to a person, and then you get to the understanding. Chapter 20 of John, verse 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. So in other words, you got to believe. You want life. You don't have it in the scriptures. You have it in the Lord Jesus Christ of the scriptures. The scriptures are just words. Words. Lots of words. Lots of words. And the word of God, over, as you know in John 6, is pregnant. The words are pregnant with life. So as you look at the words, they're full of life. So you read a sentence and, oop, you missed. Did you get the life? It's full. It emerges. It blossoms. You need to read between the lines. The movement. Just boom, boom, boom. You're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. How does it all go together? It all goes together in the wonderful person of our Lord Jesus Christ. You remember our Lord would say, over if you would please, in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 16. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 16. And you'll notice, please, over and over, it's all going to be the same, no matter where you go. It's just no one pays attention. Because we try to get some pieces and we didn't get to the God who gave them. Chapter 16, here they are. Verse 13, and when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He didn't ask about, do they understand Genesis? He didn't ask that. He said, do they know me? Who do they think I am? That's the issue. Who do you think I am? And that's the scriptures off. What to answer that? Verse 11. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I want to know your personal. I know what they say. I want to know what you say. Who do you say that I am? That's the person. And I'm not going to know. I got to come to you as a person. Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Peter, you didn't get that on your own. God the Father gave that to you. Verse 17. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not, N-O-T, revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And so, looking for the person of our Lord, who am I? Do you understand that I am? And that's why you've got Genesis to Revelation, to understand who I am. Now, one other place where we're on this end of it, over to the Gospel of John, Chapter 6, John chapter 6. And you would remember, John 6, if I can, in the wonderful passage section of his person and work. And in verse 63, 6 and 63 of John, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, makes alive. The flesh, your normal fleshly, earthly old nature, profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. They are life. Ah, they are life. Because they speak of me. All the scripture speaks of me. The words themselves, there's no life. Intellect, you could quote 25 verses, 25 books of the Bible. It won't save you. It won't save you. And there are dear Jewish people that can quote the Old Testament like something else. I'm embarrassed. They aren't saved. Chapter 6, over to verse 67. Remember, all of them left, as it were. Then said Jesus unto the 12, his disciples, Peter, James, and John, will ye go also go away? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Where are the words of eternal life? They're in my word. My word. What does the Bible do? Bible brings you to God. God gives you life. Verse 69. And we believe and are sure, what do you believe? That we are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. We have no question of who you are, not about whether we understand verse 16. We understand who you are. You see, that's the issue. Do you understand who I am? I'm God. That's the spirit of Antichrist is. He's not God. He's a wonderful person. He loves us and died and cares. And that's, no. God took our sins in his own body on the tree. Wow. And you will not come to me. John, back over to John chapter 5. Verse 40, and you will not come to me that you might have life. You won't come that you might have life. You could, but you don't. You aren't going to come. You remember, don't you, that you could come, but they don't. We're right here. Slide. Go over to chapter 1 of John that you read. John chapter 1. And verse 5. Light shineth in the darkness, but the darkness comprehended it not, didn't understand. Verse 11, he came unto his own, the Jewish people, and his own received him not. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And you leave me out. The scriptures point to who I am. And when you read and you never come up with who I am, you're reading wrongly. You aren't reading good. You're going to miss, and you're going to end up with a whole lot of questions and things, and pretty soon you don't know whether the Bible's true or false or what it's about. and you disconnect the Old Testament from the New and Revelation from something else, and all of it is allegorized to something and nothing. You know, you lost the whole business in the process. Over to John chapter 3. He came unto his own received him not. Remember, they that come to me. They will not come to me. All right, here's the word come. Let's see it. They won't come to me. Okay, John chapter 3, picking up, please, verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come, there's your little verb, come into the world, and what? Men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because the deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh, there's your word come, they aren't going to come to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Verse 21, on the contrary, but he that doeth truth cometh, there's your little verb, to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought of God. So if I want life, I'm going to come to you. And you are the light of the world. I'm going to come. And if I don't come, I'm going to stay in the dark. And they don't want to come. So they didn't search the scriptures. If they did, they would have certainly known who he was. He would have been born in Bethlehem, they had no question. He would have been crucified, no question. No question, but they had... He's the son of Joseph. Nazareth. Joseph. Who can that be? How can he be anything? Wow, what he is. And that's the marvel. You're coming, we make Christmas. God knows, hope not. No offense to the market or something. The greatest thing God ever did is he became a baby. Do you understand? The weakest thing of all the animal world. There's no one weaker than a little baby human. He became a baby. The marvel of all wonders. God became a baby. Wow. 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 Huh. Some God. You betcha. You bet. And in the process, dear friend, and you know without doing it all, look at, here. You're right here, we'll do it, without even far away. John chapter 3, verse 15. Then whosoever believeth in the scriptures should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whoso believeth in him should not perish, but everlasting life. Verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. On and on and on. John chapter 5, it's a section we've been studying, John 5. 5 and 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him. That's where you got it. Where'd you get that from? Reading the Bible? I ended up with God. That's right. And they shall not come into condemnation, judgment, but is passed from death unto life. Wonderful, wonderful life transferred. I am the resurrection and the life. Over and over and over. I'm the bread of life, the water of life. I'm everything. I'm the water. From the water to the woman at the well. If you just take of me, inside of you will become a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And you will have a wonderful, wonderful aliveness. No matter how dead your body, you will have a wonderful life. Now in the process, over if you would please in closing, 1 John. 1 John. First John chapter 5. May I pick up, please, in thought. John 5 and picking up verse 11. This is the record, the witness. I'll even read verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record, the witness that God gave of his Son. This is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. This, where is this life? It's in His Son, in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. Verse 12. He that hath not the Son of God hath no life. You didn't search the Scriptures. If you did, you would have known me. And you don't. Verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. What for? That you may know that you have eternal life. That you may believe, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So that you know. You are not basing your qualifications because you are so intellectually apt. You're so whatever. No, we don't qualify. The Pharisees could get up, and some religious leaders can get up. But hey, what makes us qualified? What makes fishermen and tax collectors, like in Acts 4, what makes them so full of life? Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, coming to know the Lord as his personal Savior, that's what is required. First you believe on the Son of God. Then you come to the Scriptures. The Scriptures will tell you to get to God. How am I going to get to God? In the person of Jesus Christ. Come to God in the person of Jesus Christ, and you can get back to the Scriptures. When you get back to the Scriptures, you'll have a knowledge. You'll have a knowledge, and you're looking for the Son of God. You're looking for God in the Scriptures. God in the Scriptures, because they're God's Word. God breathed. God breathed Scriptures. God gave them. So we don't have to get there, though. I don't know if that's true or not. Then you just are blinded, and you won't see a thing, and I don't care how long you read and how long you think. Where is a personal heart relationship? I know the person of Ethel. I don't know about her. I know her person. I know Larry, person. I know God, personally. That's what saves me. That's what saves you. Do you know, and the historians would go back in the days of Napoleon, they would write. And in reading the historian's record of the Napoleon and his soldiers as they marched, and they often marched long marches, and sometime, as many did, in the desert. And one of those occasions they were in the desert, and the army was to proceed across a great barren stretch of land. And as they went across the desert in the white sand, and they came, but as they went, it was very hot. And the white sand reflected the heat. And they became very, very thirsty, very, very thirsty. Thirsty. So here's this whole army moving, and they're very thirsty. And they're looking, getting thirsty, and begin to think about it and looking. And there ahead of them was a lake, as the first ones coming in the line saw the lake. And they saw the lake, and they went right through the ranks, and they all shouted and ran to the lake for the water. And as they ran to the lake ran away from them. It was a mirage in the sand. And if you've ever seen them, I've seen them, you've seen them out there. It isn't real. It looks real, but it isn't real. And as they chased the lake ran away. And they never caught it. Wow. Now, do you know, dear friends, that here are people, you're a person. And we're running down out in the desert, looking for life, looking for life. Coming down the corridor of time, looking for life, life, life. And you know, we see it out there. And we run and try to get it. People try different religions and backgrounds and theories and intellectual hocus pocus and everything else. They do all kinds of things trying to find some survival and security and success. And they're doing it knowing all the while they're getting older and closer to the day of their death. True? And we're looking for life, security, the government. Hey, yay! No, no yay. No, we suppose we're going to get it. We're going to get it. We're going to have it. We're going to, somehow it'll work. Somehow hope. You know, in Ephesians 2:12, having no hope and without God in the world. That's the world. They have no hope and they're without God. So we're going down the corridor and the light keeps moving. We try to reach it and have it, but we don't have it. But we feel we have it because we're good guys and we care and whatever our basis of our rationale that we're okay and we reason. And you know what? We don't have any life. We just keep going because we're qualified. If anyone should be, get it, should be the good guys. And so down you go. Just like the Napoleon's army. And down we go. And thus, dear friend, looking for success, looking for something to happen, when it just isn't going to happen. And so like the woman at the well again, if you would just receive me and believe in me, said the Lord Jesus Christ, I will be in you a well of water springing up into eternal life. It's me, a relationship not to the words, to the God who gave them, that gives life. I am the life. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. And I'm coming. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No question about it. I am. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath the Son. Our life is hid with Christ in God. Colossians 3:4. Christ who is our life. Wow, will appear. God. Why couldn't? It's so simple. How can we be so stupid? How can we miss it? Because the heart doesn't want to step into the light. And do you know who the prominent person in this room is? God. The most prominent person in this world is God. The most prominent person in your house is God. In your school is God. And we don't honor. We don't want to, because then God, you are so awesomely wonderful. Then we shrink in our earthly humanity, in our pride. And our pride doesn't have much oomph in your presence. So God, we try to block you out. We love darkness rather than light because we don't want to have the light because we can't have our pride. And our pride shrinks in the light. So we're Christians, preachers, teachers. But we don't understand the scriptures. And we have no life. Wow. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness and look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. God, what are we? It's a wonderful thing. You are a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful God. And God, we just miss out because we get all tied up in ourselves, in our system, in our feelings, our fears, our faults. We get tied up in our opinions and we think like the Jewish leaders did. We think, we suppose, we have the opinion that we are thus and thus and thus, that we possess thus and thus and thus, that we're okay. And God, all of that needs to be substantiated and evaluated on the cross so that we find you. You are life. Thank you very, very much. And for those who know you not as Lord and Savior, God, convict, convince them. For those who know you, God, convict and convince us. that we would get it a little better, a little straighter. And we'll thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Perhaps we could sing, please, a stanza. Just as I am, number 562. 562.